Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. And it's a great pleasure to welcome the author, Josh Rogan, of The Washington Post. He is a journalist as well, writes the Global Opinions column for The Post, but now the author, Josh Rogan, to congratulate him for his new book, Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. The book is a story of the Trump administration evolving policy with the People's Republic of China. It is also the story right now of the evolving policy of new administrations ad infinitum, Mr. Biden's and whatever follows. We begin, however, with something that one of the principals in the book, Matthew Pottinger, at one time Deputy National Security Advisor, Colonel Matthew Pottinger of the U.S. Marine Corps, retired, quoted in the course of the descriptions of the evolving policy of the Trump administration. This is from Confucius, from the Analects. I read the English translation. If names cannot be correct, then language cannot be in accordance with the truth of things. And if language cannot be in accordance with the truth of things, then affairs cannot be carried on to success. Josh, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. And the Confucius quote identifies to me, a reader of irony, that the relationship between Washington and Beijing, between the capitalist republic of the United States and the communist authoritarian regime of China, is a search for the names of things and the truth of things. We begin with a date you make much help with in 2016. It's November 1st, 2016, at the Palace Hotel. Present is a man named Yang, representing the People's Republic of China. Opposite him on this date are the then Secretary of State, John Kerry, and the then National Security Advisor, Susan Rice. That day, what was the relationship between the outgoing Obama administration and Xi Jinping, the President for Life of China? Good evening to you, Josh.
Well, good evening to you, John. As you point out, one of the main thrusts of the Trump administration's reorientation of U.S. policy on China was, as Matthew Pottinger often said, to inject candor and reciprocity into the relationship. In other words, the premise was that denying or hiding or massaging or lying about what was going on in the relationship, especially what was going on the Chinese side of the relationship, had not served us well, had not served the relationship well, and had led both the U.S. and China into a situation where both were able to sort of talk past each other in a way where hard problems were never resolved, not even really discussed, much less out in the open. And this was the prevailing bipartisan approach for much of the last 40 years. And the meeting that you talk about, which was 1 week before the 2016 election, where top Obama administration officials invited top Chinese government officials to the Palace Hotel in New York, was supposed to be a scene setter for the incoming Hillary Clinton administration. It was supposed to be a handoff meeting where Rice and Kerry basically said to Yang Jiechi and the other Chinese diplomats assembled, the relationship is going well. It's going to get better. We need to make sure it keeps getting better. And as long as we both have that in our minds, everything's going to be fine. Now, that looking back, that seems a little odd and funny for a couple of different reasons. One is because, of course, the relationship wasn't going very well. Even at that time, even in late 2016, there were plenty of indications and lots of concern, both inside and outside the U.S. government, that the rise of China under Xi Jinping had taken a decidedly more authoritarian turn and towards internal repression and external aggression and interference in our free and open societies in ways that we didn't like and that we couldn't tolerate. And the message that the Obama administration officials were sending was quite different than that. It was simply that, you know, ignore all of those concerns. We're going to make sure everything's fine, and we're going to have smooth sailing as long as we can keep the tone of the relationship positive. The other funny thing about that meeting looking back is that, of course, Hillary Clinton didn't win the 2016 election. And when Donald Trump was elected president of the United States exactly 1 week later, this shocked not only Americans, but people around the world, including the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, who had just been reassured only a week earlier that everything was going to be fine, that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and the relationship was going to continue on its relatively smooth trajectory. So you can just imagine how this sort of threw all of the assumptions that the Chinese side was basing its approach to the United States on into total chaos, right? And of course, then the Chinese leadership had to decide, how do we deal with this president, Donald Trump, who's advising him, who's in charge of his policy? What does he think? What is his campaign rhetoric, which was very anti-China and very anti-Beijing? Is that going to be the new U.S. foreign policy going forward? And what the book lays out is that, in fact, they got two different, totally contradictory messages. On the one hand, Henry Kissinger was dispatched quickly to Beijing with a message directly from President's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to tell the Chinese leadership, don't worry, everything will be fine. And we want continued constructive relations based on mutual respect, win-win cooperation, and all the rest. At the same exact time, on the same exact day, the president-elect Donald Trump took a phone call from the Taiwanese president, Tsai Ing-wen. And as the book describes, the reason he took this phone call is because he didn't understand what he was doing, and his staff had essentially given him the phone call to make without explaining to him that this was going to be a break in 40 years of U.S. policy towards China. And, of course, the phone call resulted in a huge controversy, and the people in Beijing were very confused. So they dispatched the same exact diplomat, Yang Jishir, back to New York to go meet with Trump's officials in Jared Kushner's family's building.
December 9th, 2016, yes, approximately 5 weeks after the meeting between Kerry, Rice, and Yang. And he delivered a message that is written in stone, that China would not tolerate, will not accept anything but the obedience to its territorial integrity. Territorial integrity. They more than drew a line in the sand. They drew a line in the ocean. They drew a line through Eurasia. And they were very blunt. They named the thing itself. That's what's so striking about this, Josh. China said right away what was important. And it was some time before the U.S. listened.
That's exactly right. Yang Jishir was dispatched to New York to scold the incoming Trump administration. How dare you upend 40 years of U.S.-China relations? How dare you take a call from Tsai Ing-wen? And the quote that Yang said was, the territorial integrity of China must not be questioned. In other words, he was directing his American interlocutors to shut up about Tibet, Taiwan, Hong Kong, the Uyghurs, you name it, anything that the Chinese Communist Party defines as part of its core interests. Now, of course, that was the beginning of this very confusing, complicated, fractious relationship between the Trump administration and the Chinese leadership, and that's what the book traces. But here we are exactly 4 years after that, and we have a new administration, and who do the Chinese send to Alaska to meet with the new Biden administration, but the same exact figure, Yang Jishir.
It's a wonderful economy of scenes, Josh. Yang is the man for all seasons. They send him to the Obama team. They send him to the Trump team. They send him to the Biden team. This is the man who gives us.
And he comes with essentially the same exact message,
which is
you guys better shut up about the Uyghurs and Taiwan and Tibet and Hong Kong and all the rest. But the thing that was different about this time around is that they did it in public. You know, all this time, the Chinese messages had been different in public and private. And now the public message is very similar to what Yang Jiechi has been saying to American leaders for all of these years, which is that this is not China rising, this is a China risen, and we don't want to hear any more of your criticism, and we will criticize you back as much as we want. And, you know, if you, you know, Americans want a Cold War, then you can go ahead and keep saying the things that you're saying, but you better not do it. And that is exactly what we heard from Yang Jiechi in Alaska. And I think to the Biden administration, to its credit, pushed back on that and said, no, we're going to say what we think. We're going to defend our interests. We're going to stand up for our values. And if you don't like it, tough. And in a way, they're adopting Pottinger's edict. Which
well,
is
let's,
we
get on, let's get on to the evolving of the Pottinger observations. The book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. Josh Rogan is the author. When we come back, cake and cruise missiles at Mar-a-Lago with Xi Jinping. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at weightwatchers.com.